Call to order the November 26th meeting of the Common Council of the City of Washington. First item of business is to wish Doug a happy birthday. And to congratulate Mike for being a grandfather again, so, over the weekend. Number six. Anybody else got any special occasions that I don't know about? Ask for a moment of silence, first of all, for our veterans and military personnel that serve us so faithfully around the world. Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have roll call, please, Beth.
Grant?
Here.
Yes,
here. Here.
Yeah.
Here.
Here.
Here. Okay. Everyone is here, so naturally that means we have a quorum, so I guess we can proceed with this rather lengthy agenda. First item are the minutes and of the public hearings and the regular meeting on November 13th. Any corrections or additions to those? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve them as presented.
So moved.
And motion by Councilman Dahl and a second by Councilwoman Decker. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Alan abstains. He wasn't here. And that motion is approved. The minutes are approved. Claims were in your packet. Any questions on any of those?
I have a question about a category that I guess I've not seen before. And
okay.
It was payroll clearing. We've got one for $500 to Anytime Fitness. We got another one to somebody called Direct Deposit for $190,000, all under payroll clearing. Well, what's Anytime Fitness going to do with it?
Employee deduction.
Is there a member of us?
Yeah.
I see.
They're membership. Yes.
Okay. Direct deduction. And then the clerk and the circuit court or the clerk's office?
We have some
withholding clerks. Okay. Like I said, I didn't recognize it.
Okay. Any other questions? Not going to have a motion to send those to the Board of Public Works for final approval?
So moved.
Motion by Councilman Chambers, second by Councilman Brown. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Any comments from the public on anything not on the agenda? We're good at the order. Okay. We have a couple of resolutions. First is Resolution 23-2018. If I could have a motion to read that, I'd appreciate it. Motion by Councilman Singleton, second by Councilman Dahl. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Tim, can you read that for us?
Resolution number 23-2018, transfer of the Common Council contemplating the meeting of certain emergencies, does hereby consider and determine to extend and to transfer certain funds from one major classification of the published budget of said City of Washington for 2018 to another major classification, the Fund Day 101 General Plan Commission Board of Zoning and Code Enforcement, from Section 420 Communications and Transportation, $1,500, to Section 640 Machinery and Equipment, the same amount, total transfer of $1,500. This resolution shall be in force and effect from and after its passage, passed on Council this 26th day of November 2018.
Any explanation of what that's for, particularly?
Yeah, we're just rolling money around. We just didn't have
enough
money for a coffee machine.
Okay. Any questions? Could I have a motion to approve that resolution, then?
Second.
Motion by Councilman Dahl, second by Councilman Chambers. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
And we have a resolution 24-2018. Motion to read it, please.
So moved.
Second. A motion by Councilman Dahl and a second by Councilman Brown. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Resolution number 24-2018, a resolution of the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana, amending resolution number 14-2018 regarding the Business 50 project. Whereas on July 9, 2018, the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana, adopted resolution number 14-2018, preliminarily approving proceeding with participating in a local public agency project with the Indiana Department of Transportation, whereby the city would assume from NDOT the ownership, operation, and maintenance of Business 50 from the eastern boundary of the city to the western boundary of the city, and whereas pursuant to the resolution, the council preliminarily approved proceeding with all legal steps necessary for the city to provide its local match, including the issuance of bonds and bans, provided, however, that prior to the issuance of any bonds or bans, the city shall have entered into the NDOT Business 50 agreement, and whereas the council has been presented with a substantially final form of NDOT Business 50 agreement, which is acceptable to the council, and has been advised by its consultants that certain of the bonds and bans have been approved and are ready to be issued, and whereas the council has been further advised that the administrative process to have the NDOT Business 50 agreement fully executed by the parties thereto will not be immediate, and the city desires to take advantage of current interest rates in the marketplace and issue certain of its bonds and bans now. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana, that, Section 1, the resolution is hereby amended to permit the issuance of the bonds and bans prior to execution of the NDOT Business 50 agreement. Section 2, this resolution shall be effective from and after its passage and execution by the mayor, passed and adopted by the Common Council of the City of Washington, Davie County, Indiana, this 26th day of November, 2018.
Okay, the reason we have this resolution is even though we do not have the NDOT Business 50 agreement completely ironed out yet, part of this original resolution was that we would issue no debt until that was approved, signed, sealed, delivered, and signed in blood. However, particularly with the water bans, as John has explained, or Chris, I forget who has explained it, Chris, I think John did, in order to issue the water bonds particularly and get them approved as a tax at a tax-exempt rate, we need to amend that resolution to allow the city to issue that debt prior to the NDOT agreement. Is that a good summation, John?
I second that. No, we don't have any. So you're exactly right. This is largely housekeeping. If you remember all the way back to July, when this, there was a resolution that was passed, which said, stop the process. We're not going to go forward and confirm any indebtedness until we have a final agreement. Fast forward to today, that being presented with a substantially final agreement, not a final agreement, but a substantially final agreement with NDOT, and hopefully in enough depth and detail to feel comfortable proceeding forward to issue some of the debt. And to your point about the water bond, remind everyone that we were able to receive volume cap from the Indiana Finance Authority, which allows us to issue tax exempt debt for water that expires at the end of this year.
And even if we don't proceed with the NDOT agreement, this prepares us to upgrade the water and sewer anyways, right? I mean, as we talked about, we got to do that anyways, whether we take over the road or not. So that's the purpose of the resolution. Questions? Okay. So I have a motion to approve that resolution then. So a motion by Councilman Dahl.
Second
by Councilwoman Decker. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. So resolution passes 5-2 then, right? Okay. Okay. Okay, ordinances, we have final reading on a couple of them. Could I have a motion to read second reading of 26-2018?
So moved by Councilwoman.
Okay, motion by Councilman Dahl.
Second.
Second by Councilwoman Decker. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay.
Ordinance 26-2018, an ordinance amending compensation ordinance number 21-2017 of the City of Washington, D.C.
Any questions or about that? Remember that from last week or last meeting? Could I have a motion to approve that ordinance then?
So moved.
Second.
Councilman Dahl, motion, and Councilman Chambers, second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Oh, got to do roll call. I'm sorry.
Aye.
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 That motion passes. Okay, ordinance 27-2018. Could I have a motion to read it also? By title only? Okay, thank you. Motion by Councilman Chambers. Second by Councilman Dahl. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Tim?
Ordinance number 27-2018 and ordinance amending compensation ordinance number 13-2018 of the City of Washington Code of Ordinances.
Questions on that? Can I have a motion to approve it then?
So moved.
Okay, motion by Councilman Brown.
Second.
Second by Councilman Dahl.
Councilman Brown?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Okay. That motion passes and that ordinance is in effect then. Okay. Now we have several first readings of ordinances. Could I have a motion to read 28-2018?
Move.
Motion by Councilman Singleton.
Second.
Second by Councilwoman Decker. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Ordinance number 28-2018, an ordinance to impose a service charge to defray the city's cost in reviewing industrial development plan or concept plan. Whereas the Common Council of the City of Washington has considered that the costs associated with consultants who may be engaged by the city to review proposed development or concept plans may be quite burdensome, and whereas it is the desire of the Common Council of the City of Washington to allow the city to have the ability to recoup some or all of such charges, and whereas industrial concerns are accustomed to sharing the costs with municipalities with regard to such development plans and concept plans, whereas the Planning Commission of the City of Washington, Indiana approved this ordinance on November 14, 2018 and referred it to the Common Council of the City of Washington, now therefore be it ordained by the Common Council of the City of Washington that the following language be added to the official schedule of permit fees found at Table 3 at the end of the Zoning Code of the Washington Code of Ordinances after the existing language which provides for fees for industrial buildings and all buildings and additions that require a state permit. Quote, whenever a proposed or revised development plan under Section 155.055 or concept plan under Section 155.056 is submitted to the Planning Commission for review and approval, the city may impose a service charge on the applicant, which shall be in addition to any permit fee to defray the cost incurred by the city in reviewing the development plan or concept plan. The Planning Commission, upon approval of the development plan or concept plan under the Zoning Code, may determine the amount of the service charge, which shall not be greater than that reasonably related to reasonable and just rates and charges for services to be provided by consultants engaged by the city to review the proposed or revised development plan or concept plan and advise the members of the Planning Commission thereon. Be it further ordained that this addition to the Code of Ordinances of the City of Washington be effective immediately upon passage by the Common Council. Approved by the Common Council of the City of Washington on the blank day of blank 2018.
Okay, this ordinance came about as a continuing effort of the Plan Commission to really update and bring up to speed a lot of our zoning ordinances and how we approve plans. And the consultant that the Plan Commission has used, an attorney from Indianapolis who's worked with development a lot, suggested this language be put in because if we had a large business coming to town, large industry, particularly on the east side of the city is what this house got started, the fees for us to have an engineer review the plans of the building, the site plans and everything could run into significant money. I mean, $25,000 or more. And without this language, the city would have to eat that for us to approve the building permit plan. So this allows us to pass that through, not to make a profit on it, but we could pass that through to the developer or the industry or whoever wants. Allows us to pass that through. Is that a good summation of discussion of the Plan Commission?
But it sort of leaves it open-ended as far as the developer coming in wouldn't have any idea of what that fee would be.
Right.
It's negotiable, yeah.
But what Mr. Molitor said, most of the developers that you would have coming in that this reply to have been through this, have played this game before, and they know that there's what the cost would be or that it could be substantial.
So would this be used for all businesses? I mean, someone wants to just build, a new building size of a house, let's say. Would we have to have a consultant?
No.
This is something we've never done before.
Right.
And so.
Should there be like an acreage limit or a square footage limit that triggers it?
Well, there's nothing automatic about it. It's just it's a tool in our toolbox. Well, it's something we can use.
But that's the problem, I think, too. It's discretionary. So you can do it for one person who might cost you $50,000 and not do it to them and do it to someone that's costing you $25,000. So how will this be done?
The smaller things, like a home
I understand. I'm talking about the bigger businesses. The way this is worded, you don't have to do it.
Right.
What would be the reason we wouldn't do it then?
If it was a smaller project that we could approve the plans. If we went...
But that's not what this is. This basically is discretionary, period. That big or little, they can decide whether they don't want to charge that or not, is the way I read that. Am I wrong?
That's the way I read it. Anything that would have to have a state permit might be subject to this. So that could be anything.
Well, it'd be commercial. So it would have to be commercial.
Yeah, but that could be a small commercial building that still has a state permit.
And if we hired an outside firm to review it, we could pass that cost through. Ed?
I think it might come from your city engineer, want to discuss the project, and he or she ought to know the complexities of it, whether they could review it. And then if they can't, then recommend that they do hire a consultant. They could probably get an estimate from a consultant up front, don't you think?
I hope so,
an estimate. So I think it depends on the complexity of the project. And I guess I'm thinking of a Toyota or Nissan plant. That's a big project. I certainly don't have the expertise to review all that.
I understand the need for it. My only concern is the ambiguity as to who it would be applied to, and I could see it being a tool used to prevent somebody from coming in because they had a particular industry that we didn't care for.
Well, it would be decided probably by the Plan Commission as who would be the ones to decide whether we were going to hire an outside firm or not. If the city engineer felt comfortable reviewing it, you just use your own people to do it. But this gives us the option if we had a big
project that you could pass.
Again, I guess I'm looking at it backwards. I'm looking at it as if we're charging someone else $50,000 for undershooting these figures, I don't see why we're not going to charge somebody $5,000 if that's what it's going to cost and it needs to be done.
Well, we're not, like he said, we're not going to make a profit on it. If Ed says it's more complicated than he can deal with, then he's going to
get the estimate. Well, it's not about profit. It's about the loss.
But then he's going to get the estimate and say, all right, as part of this deal, this company, you're going to have to pay $5,000 or $25,000 because that's what...
Well, I'm good with that, but the way I read it, it's saying that they don't have to. We can incur that cost still. That's the part I don't like about it.
What do you mean, incur the cost?
As of right now, what he says, if we do it, if we go ahead and do it, we get billed for it. I think if it gets done, period, it should be paid for.
Oh, you mean compensating Ed's office for...
No, I'm not reading that. We're responsible for that cost.
Right.
Maybe change that word and stuff like that.
Okay. Hmm. The only time I would see us using this if we hire an outside party to do that.
We're going to do that ourselves. It needs to be added.
And the language needs to stay like Doug's saying is that it's going to be the exact cost of whatever that consultant is. It's not discretionary. Like if it costs $50,000, we're going to pay $25,000 of it. Is that what you're saying, Doug?
That's part of it. Yeah, part of what I'm saying.
Well, who pays it? It could be part. It also could be part of the negotiations for getting the business here.
Yeah.
You can say it's going to cost $50,000 to get it approved, but maybe we're going to use edit funds to pay part of it to entice them to come here, or we're going to economic development is going to pay for part of it, or
should that not come from the city council instead of the planning commission to determine that?
This kind of negotiation.
Probably would. Probably would have the planning commission have the approval of that. So that's just...
Well, it says, whatever the charge is, it shall not be greater than that reasonably related to reasonable and just rates for charges and services provided by the consultant.
Not greater, but...
Not greater, but it doesn't say anything about less.
In theory, it could be less.
And it says the planning commission may determine that amount of service charge. If it's less than what the cost is, then it really needs to come in front of the city council.
Well, it's going to be significant, probably anyway, because you all would have to budget the money for it.
Right, that's what I'm saying, and it has to. But this says that the planning commission makes that determination.
And once you say, then the service charge which shall be equal to the amount reasonably related to reasonable just rates and charges.
I think the idea is to make it as flexible as possible because, I mean, if you had a company coming that was going to bring 250 jobs, you might want to pay the edit fund or somebody else, you know, the city may want to pay part of that. As part of the negotiation to get them here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see what you're saying, Doug. I see what you're saying, but that I think it's written that way to be give you some flexibility. But
would the development plan just include development on that site, or would it include off-site utilities and roads?
It could be. Yes, it could be. Could be drainage systems. Could be. Rainwater runoff. Be a lot of things. So you would like for it to say what? That if first of all, if we hired done out by an outside consultant, is that part of it?
That one would be fine. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this actually talks about even a proposed development. We're going to pay that money out. If we're going to say we're going to give them $25,000 for a proposed, and then they decide not to do it, then what's the recourse?
Well, that would probably be part of your negotiation. We'll pay it unless you don't. If you decide not to come within the next 12 months, you have to reimburse us back.
It'd be one of the clawback things you'd put in, just like we do with tax abatement. If you don't meet your goals that you said, then you don't get it. That's usually prohibited. You should make it
again. That's coming in front of the city council this Thursday.
And this would be paid before any work was done?
The work doesn't have to be done according to this.
It would be to review and approve their development plan. Whatever that would
entail. The plan and the development plan, yeah.
Right, but it would be paid up front or paid afterwards?
When you first approve the concept plan.
Right.
There's no fee for that, I wouldn't say. And then after that point in time, you get an estimate or negotiate something.
This actually includes the concept plan in this fee, so.
Well, the concept plan is based on this concept.
You wouldn't hire somebody to review it, which is fine.
Well, I would recommend tabling it and going back to our consultant who drafted it. I did draft it. So we hired a consultant, and he drafted this, and I would recommend tabling it until these issues are addressed with him.
So just to be sure, then, what
is appropriate?
Okay.
As I understand, the concerns, it has to do with whether or not, first of all, all major projects are, you know, where do you draw the line on the discretion? I mean, as you said, it could be a $5,000 project or a $5,000 fee or a $50,000 fee. And is there some point below which it sounds to me like the way to address that is probably by simply saying if the city engineer thinks it's beyond his, you know, ability to address, and you're going to have to hire, you know, outside consultants based on the city engineer's recommendation, then that's where you draw the line.
I'm taking notes here. Get back to John on.
Because so I hate to just start, you know, taking clauses out and adding clauses in. That's what we hired a consultant for, you know.
Yeah, sure. So we need to remove the discretion as to when we hire an outside consultant or not. And do you want it to say then that the fee the city would charge would be equal to what the consultant would?
And again, if I'm maybe wrong, if that's negotiable, they can come in here and then we can waiver that, even though that's an ordinance right.
Am I correct? But it would be, you're right, I mean, as it's brought up, that would be the city council that would do the negotiating.
It could, even though that ordinance is there, we can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then you don't want to say that the fee would be equal to. That's the idea of it saying it won't be greater than. It could be less than.
Well, and you can put none less in there, unless otherwise authorized by the city council. But again, I think Mr. Mosler needs to address those. We may be missing something here. But
okay, that's why we bring these here to be read. So remove the discretion as to when we do or do not hire an outside consultant, and it should read the fee would be equal to the outside consultant's fee unless approved by the Common Council. Yes, sir.
You should include inspection fees in that. That's the whole point of why this discussion started 2 years ago.
Construction inspection, you mean?
Because the whole point of this and why it was brought up was some industries that are going to come here are going to want to inspect it. And the state's not going to come around very quick to do it. And
so you're going to have to hire someone independent?
You're going to have to hire someone to inspect it. Most of the time when people come before the plan commission for a plan review, they've already paid that site plan fee to whoever their developer is. you really wouldn't ever have to impact costs or negotiate on costs now. This is more for actual construction start. This is not for something that's 3,000 or 4,000 square feet. This is something that's like 1,000,000 square feet. Something that's complex. It's going to take a lot. And it's going to be protection for them. It's going to be protection for the city, too. John Molitor, I can't remember the name of the community, but he told me a horror story of a community allowed a big business to come in and started tearing up ground. Nothing was being inspected. The state came in and shut down. It went so long, the company went belly up, and now they've got a huge 30 or 40 or 50 acre site that's all tore up with construction equipment sitting on the city. Doesn't have any way to deal with it. So, this is really about after it started and dealing with commercial side of the inspection process. At 10 cents a square foot on a 1,000,000 feet, you're going to get enough in your inspection fee to, if you want to negotiate it out. So.
Okay. Good suggestions we draw. Table that. Do you want a motion to table it?
Yes.
Okay. Can I motion to table that pending further?
Sure.
Okay. A motion by Councilman Dollar. Second.
Aye.
Councilman Kempton. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. More homework for me to do. That's all right. Why are we bringing out here? Okay, ordinance 29-2018. Could I have a motion to read that one?
So moved.
Motion by Councilman Dahl. Second.
Aye.
Councilman Chambers. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
All right, before I read this, I'm going to note a typo or a mistake in paragraph 3 where it says 12 lots should be 25. We made the change back in the exhibit, but not in the ordinance itself. So, ordinance number 29-2018, an ordinance amending section 154.003 and section 154.027 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Washington, Indiana. Whereas the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana recognizes a duty to protect the public health and safety of the citizens of the City of Washington, and whereas the development of subdivisions of medium and larger sizes create issues with regard to ingress and egress for emergency vehicles and other large vehicles, and whereas the Common Council of the City of Washington has determined that proposed subdivisions of 25 lots or more are in need of adequate access for public health and safety purposes, and whereas the Planning Commission of the City of Washington has approved this ordinance on November 14, 2018, and referred it to the Common Council of the City of Washington for consideration. Now, therefore, be it ordained that the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana, finds as follows. Number one, that section 154.003 and section 154.027 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Washington, Indiana, shall be amended as provided in Exhibit A. And two, that this ordinance shall take force and effect upon passage by the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana, passed by the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana on the blank day of blank 2018.
Okay, if I might report from behalf of the Planning Commission on this one, too. This is a culmination of probably 2 years or more of discussions and cussing and discussing and everything else. We have one notable subdivision that the Planning Commission has had to deal with time and time again that is served by only one access street that in and of itself is a little bit questionable as to its serviceability in case of bad weather, that serves over 50 homes. And I don't know, 9 or 10 years ago, I'm told that we had a nice storm and a trash truck or a salt truck slid backwards and into a tree. And the concern ever since has been, if you ever had a problem like that and you had to get a fire truck or an ambulance back there, there is no way to get it back there. So
So the Plan Commission and I and Don and Brian and Ed and everybody's been involved in this discussion. We ought to have some ordinance that says if you're going to put in a big subdivision, you need to have at least two access points, two access streets. So that's the purpose of this ordinance. And basically, it says that if you plan a subdivision with more than 25 lots, or you're going to add on to a subdivision and result in more than 25 lots, or have lots that are more than 800 feet from the nearest arterial street, you need to have a second access point. So I even sat down and went through a lot of the subdivisions that we've got in the city, and most of them that have two access points have 25 homes or more. Most of them that are smaller than that, a lot of them all just have one. We have some that have maybe 18, we probably have one or two maybe that have 25, 26, but 25 seems to be a good number that would cover. If you'd had this in place for all the subdivisions as they developed throughout the city, you'd be covered. So that's the first. Questions?
Yeah. So we already have the Plan Commission, what size those streets need to be?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's all in there. Yeah, that's all in there. Zoning ordinances. Either zoning or subdivision ordinances.
And this would not apply to that subdivision because it's pre-existing subdivision.
Right.
Right. Everything else is grandfathered.
Right.
The other thing we did in this is just direct your attention to paragraph F back in the Exhibit A. We did add some language that gave the Plan Commission the ability to waive those requirements upon a showing of special circumstances that might mitigate the public health and safety concerns. And I guess what I had in mind there is perhaps if you can make the street wider or something like that, that's a thing. At least give the Plan Commission the ability to be flexible.
Mm-hmm. Question? If that sounds good to you, I would entertain a motion to approve that ordinance. Or no, wait. No, no, it's first reading.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. That'll be up for action next meeting. Sorry. Getting ahead of myself. Okay, the next one concerns some fees in our animal control department. Could I have a motion to read that ordinance, 30-2018, please? Motion by Councilman Brown. Second by Councilwoman Decker. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Ordinance number 30-2018, an ordinance amending section 91.05 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Washington, Indiana. Whereas the City of Washington Animal Control and Adoption Facility has entered into a new contract for software which requires an adopted pet of a microchip implanted. And whereas the optimum method for identifying lost animals is through the microchip process. And whereas the cost of a microchip for each animal adopted from said facility is $10. Now, therefore, be it ordained that, one, section 91.05, the fees of the Code of Ordinances for the City of Washington be amended as follows. A, animal shelter. In the event an animal is adopted that has been housed in the City of Washington Animal Control and Adoption Facility, the following adoption fees shall apply. One, dogs and puppies, $25 and $10 for microchip. Two, cats, $15 and $10 for microchip. Three, kittens, $10 and $10 for microchip. Number two, the remainder of section 91.05 shall remain in full force and effect. Number three, this ordinance shall be effective upon passage approved by the Common Council of the City of Washington on the blank day of blank 2018.
Beth, I'll let you talk about this one. You know more about it than I do.
Okay. So, really, what sort of started with the new software program we have out of the Delta now, and part of the agreement with that. You don't have to pay for the software if you agree to do microchipping within your facility. So it's kind of a good thing on several levels. One, you will microchip every pet that you adopt. So if it's in town and you end up with it back at some point, man, I remember that dog, but I can't remember who had it. You know, they don't hardly ever have a collar, they don't have a tag, so you can scan them and figure out who that belongs to, that sort of thing. Same sort of goes for we got some habitual offenders in town, you know, we keep getting that same dog, and usually we remember where it belongs, but every once in a while, you know, we might have one, and it's a year later we get it again, but can't remember. All we got to do is scan them for the microchip. So this will allow us to not only have that business, but it also allows us to get the software through this company for no charge. But the charge that we're really incurring, though, is the microchip. We do have to buy those. That's the only fee that we have. So this is just sort of to help recoup those costs of the microchip that we have to implant in the animals in when they get adopted early on.
The $10 or the $20?
The $10. The $25 is like our normal. That's all we've been saying. Okay. This is just an additional $10
okay.
on top of that.
So it's $10 actually break even then?
Yeah, actually, it puts us just, yeah, right even. I mean, we've busted up a little bit the cost of the microchip fluctuate, you know,
so you are making, it is enough.
So this time, you know, I got a pretty good deal on it, but the next time I know I get that same deal, so $10 will always keep us ahead of the game, or even, I guess. So that way we're not losing anything, you know,
but
we're not necessarily
going to
make
anything. And then what, when you say adopted dogs, how, explain how that works.
A dog adoption?
Yeah. Do people bring you dogs to give away?
Oh, all the time.
I don't know.
All the time. Yeah, we get strays, of course.
Not what you kiss, this is what people are giving you?
Yeah, I mean, now we have people that bring in dogs all the time. They have litters of puppies that they can't get rid of or didn't want to have to begin with, and so they just bring them to us. And we come from all over Davis County. It's not just the city of Washington. So the whole county brings them to us. We're the only shelter within the county at this time.
So would there be a reason not to use this same thing on dogs that you catch and people come back?
No, we would. I mean, that's, we would still charge them that same.
So that is, you still do the, I mean, if you catch their stray, it's not microchipped. Can you not add verbiage in here to microchip that dog also for that $10 fee? Or do you
that's
do
what I'm intending to do. Is
that
we put that
he's saying, where you catch a stray dog that belongs to someone that is already has already been adopted or whatever. This talks about the fee for adopted.
So really, ultimately, you could come in, and if you wanted the microchip.
Well, it's not, I'm saying not want it. I'm saying, can you just not make them get it?
Oh, yeah, that's kind of my intent. You know, that we, you know, if there's somebody that's not shipped their dog, or we.
But that intent wasn't really written into that ordinance. It just talks
about
adopted
dogs. Yeah, I see
what you're saying. Dog.
What this is saying is that you would charge the fee upon adoption. What Doug is saying is, what about a dog? My dog that I've had for 5 years all of a sudden gets away and you catch it and you take it out there.
I'd like it to be in an ordinance where it's mandatory. They cannot argue with
it. Well, which is what I really intended for that to be. As long as you have that $10 fee in, that, you know, we could chip any dog that keeps. We have a return to owner fee as well.
Yeah,
for people
somewhere else. From. I mean, this is just in the fee section. Okay, yeah, we would just amend the ordinance in another place.
Oh.
I'm certainly willing to do it if that's what everybody wants to do.
What Doug is saying is this is for animals that are going to be adopted.
Right. Well, but I really what I had intended for it to be was to be
any dog or
facility can and will be microchipped, you know, if it's a stray or a pet or any of that.
Now, all this did is amend the fees for adoption.
Okay.
And if you want me to do another ordinance that addresses that specific issue, we can certainly do that. It'll be in a different section of the ordinance.
Oh, it's a whole different section.
Yeah. Well, it's not huge. I mean, it's just a different spot, you know.
Right.
But this was just
in the
people
section. Well, that's kind of why I thought we would be able to do it like that. That was my intention, was for it to be.
Should it?
Do the stray angle.
Should it be mandatory?
Are the dog has the right kind of ability to
have a check? I mean, I probably would have made it that way anyway. I would have given them a choice. You know, I would probably have said, you know,
yeah, but
if
you're
not back, you would have paid a $10 microchip fee for like a return owner fee.
Okay. So what we need to do, if you can agree with this, we'll pass this ordinance and then direct you to amend whatever other section needs to be adopted to make that mandatory. Good point.
What would be the chances that we could make that effective now
instead
of waiting?
What, this
ordinance? Yeah, this one is part of it.
For what reason?
Well, because we've got this software up and running now, and so in order for me to be able to, you know, put in microchips and charge people for using them. You know, I wanted to try to get it done as soon as possible. This has kind of been sort of ongoing.
Yeah, Beth asked me to do this about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
It's now getting
so, okay. I mean, it's a big problem. We don't have to, but it just makes it a little easier for me. We can start going ahead, you know.
You have the microchips and
yeah,
the
yeah, we have the microchips.
And there's a needle or something you put it in with. I'm not good.
How many animals would that be in a month?
It varies, but this time of year it starts picking up because
everybody
wants
Christmas
pets. Maybe 100? We get about 100 adoptions total a year. We send out a lot more to rescue, which we don't have to microchip those as a rescue group. Take
care of that. So we don't market the rescue meds as much as we
or stray or, you know,
however we want to. Yeah. I mean, this is a big deal. We can wait.
I just, you know.
No. Okay. It's up to the council if they
want to
waive the rules and make it effective today.
But if you don't have this, you just have to take our doors to the budget.
Yes. Well, we don't have this.
Well, I know we still have to vote on it, but you're supposed to wait a week to vote on it.
Okay.
It's not like I can start the key until it's done.
Not the way you waive the rules. But you could do it without. You could just do it at your cost.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let that up to council. Somebody has to move the rules. Otherwise, this will be up for adoption at the next meeting.
I will motion to suspend the rules.
Okay.
Second.
I have a motion to suspend the rules by Councilman Hampton and a second by Councilman Chambers. Now, excuse me, I was out of my notes on how we got to do this. What's that? Okay. Roll call vote then to suspend the rules, please.
Councilman
Ram? Aye.
Aye.
Councilman Chambers? Aye.
Councilman Decker?
Nay.
Councilman Fry-Bot?
Nay.
Nay. So we have five.
Four.
It's going to be three quarters, doesn't it?
No, it's going to be total.
Yeah.
It's going to
be total.
Doesn't matter. I mean, either way.
It's going to be total for...
Suspension rules, suspension rules. Requires that. Yes, it does require unanimous consent to those present. Okay, motion failed. So that'll be up for adoption at our next meeting. Okay. Ordinance 31-2018. Can I have a motion to read that one?
So moved.
Motion by Councilman Dahl.
Second.
Second by Councilwoman Decker. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay.
Ordinance number 31-2018. An ordinance dedicating certain streets in Gateway Crossing Subdivision. Whereas the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana does ordinance follows. Section 1 of the streets in the City of Washington known as Gateway Drive and Grain Farms Road, and further described in Exhibit A, shall be accepted as city streets. Section 2, that the existence of the foregoing streets as city streets are hereby ratified and in all respects confirmed, and if not previously dedicated to the public, the aforementioned referenced streets are hereby dedicated to the public. Section 3, the Washington Code of Ordinances is hereby amended in conformity with the terms of this ordinance, and city maps should heretofore include these city streets. Adopted by the Common Council of the City of Washington, Davies County, Indiana, with Glendale Blank, 2018.
Okay, this is in the GFI investment area, correct? These are the streets that were installed by GFI Investments, LLC, on the south of US 50, west of Interstate 69, basically the subdivision that they put in out there. And this is a request to accept the streets and curbs that they've installed as city-owned. And I believe Ed and Brian have both inspected those streets or are aware of those, the condition, right? And you're okay with doing that, there's a need for it. Any questions on that? Okay.
Typical way we do it is they build them, and usually we wait about 6 to 12 months to make sure they don't all crack up and break up. And I think, as far as I know, they're all in good shape. So that will be up for consideration and adoption at our next meeting.
Actually,
12 months. 12 months, okay. Through one, at least one winter of freezing and thawing, right?
Okay, ordinance number 32-2018. Can I have a motion to read that ordinance?
So moved.
Motion by Councilman Dahl.
Second.
And second by Councilwoman Decker. Okay, now let's read the ordinance first. Could I have a motion to read this ordinance?
All right. No, all in favor of reading it, say aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Ordinance number 32-2018, an ordinance amending the sewer rates and charges of the City of Washington, Indiana. Whereas the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana is responsible for establishing just and reasonable rates and charges for the users of the city's municipal sewer utility, and whereas the city's existing rates and charges for sewer service were established in ordinance numbers 25-2013 and codified in section 52.117 of the city's code of ordinances, and whereas the city has retained a financial advisor, H.J. Umbaugh and Associates, to study and analyze the costs associated with providing sewer service and to thereafter recommend any changes to the city's existing rates and charges. And whereas Umbaugh has prepared an accounting report which memorializes its recommended changes to the city's rates and charges for sewer service, which is dated November 16, 2018. And whereas the 2018 rate study indicates that the current rates and charges do not produce sufficient income to maintain the utility property in a sound physical and financial condition to render adequate and sufficient service, and that the rates and charges should be increased. And whereas, based on the 2018 rate study, the Common Council has determined that the proposed rates and charges are fair and necessary to provide for the continued operation of the city's municipal sewer system. And whereas a public hearing was conducted by the Common Council on the 10th day of December 2018 at 6:30 p.m. in the Council Chamber, located at 200 Arnold Avenue, Washington, Indiana, pursuant to notices required by statute. And whereas the Common Council now seeks to amend and adopt its schedule of rates and charges as set forth herein, now therefore be it ordained by the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana, that, section 1, rates and charges, the city's existing rates and charges shall be and are hereby amended to include the following rates and charges for sewer service. A, metered water usage per 100 cubic feet, $6.21. B, minimum base charge, $20.68. I'm sorry, 5/8 to 3/4 inch meter, $20.58. 1-inch meter, $30. 1/2 inch meter, $50.63. 2-inch meter, $76.70. 3-inch meter, $157.58. 4-inch meter, $263.32. 6-inch meter, $580.59. C, unmetered users, single-family residents, 656 cubic feet, $61.42. Street department, $4,472.18. Additional dwelling unit, $6.76. Section 2, payment in lieu of property taxes. The council hereby elects to include in its rates an amount sufficient to compensate the municipality for the property taxes that would be paid on its municipal sewage works if the sewage works were privately owned. The council further authorizes that the portion of fees collected in lieu of taxes be transferred to the general fund of the city. Section 3, existing rates and charges. Unless specifically amended by this ordinance, all other sewer rates, charges, and provisions related thereto, as set forth in ordinance number 25-2013, shall remain in full force and effect. Section 4, effective date. This ordinance will be effective immediately upon adoption, but the city will not implement the rates and charges set forth herein until the March 2019 billing cycle. Section 5, severability of provisions. The words, phrases, sections, paragraphs, and provisions of this ordinance are separable. In the event that any one or more of the provisions contained in this ordinance should be held invalid, illegal, or unenforceable in any respect, the validity, legality, and enforceability of the remaining provisions herein shall not in any way be affected or impaired and should remain in full force and effect. passed and adopted by the Town Council of the City of Washington, Davis County, Indiana, this blank day of blank, 2018.
Mr. Severs, would you like to present that said rate study?
How much our debts are going to. First of all, for everyone's knowledge, we had a working group meeting week before last, attended by the mayor, two council members, all of the applicable department heads, and I believe you were there as well, weren't you? If it's not there, Anita was there, and we spent several hours flushing through all the depth and detail of the alternatives and the rate studies for each of the three utilities. This is going to sound like a threat, but it's unintended to be. I don't know that's a good use of our time to replay that several hours of discussion. I can certainly answer any questions that you might have. Mayor indicated that each of you have been provided previous to tonight with the full and final versions of the great report.
Those were emailed out last week or week four.
So with that in mind, let me kind of fast forward a little bit here. And again, happy to answer any questions that you might have. Let me pass these around here. I'll speak from this. What you have tonight, for example, the sewer rate ordinance that was just read into the record, it's on the table. Following that, we have two ordinances for the water and the electric. Procedurally, if I can, you'll indulge me, I'm going to just take all of those three of us as a whole. That gives you a good job. Also, advised sufficiently to fund the entire project. The last time the electric rates were increased was September of 2009. So roughly 10 and a half years ago. Well, the electric rate increase is an increase in base rates of approximately 6.1%. And it's proposed that those rates be effective with the April 2019 balance cycle. That's where I get the 10 and a half years. Lastly, the water rate increase is proposed to be implemented the following month of the May 2019 billing cycle. The water rates proposed are an across-the-board increase of 20% over the previous rates, which were adopted in September of 2012. Those rates also, like the other rates, have been sized sufficiently to get your cross the goal line, give you enough monies and revenues to close the SRF financing in 2 years to fund the entire project and to repay the band. So, I know that's a lot of information for you to all digest. I mean, catch my breath, and if you have any questions, I would certainly attempt to answer them.
In the case of the sewer, there's a portion of that needing to be done anyway. Sure, this is future band payments. Is that correct?
In fact, especially in the case of the sewer, we really need a rate increase regardless of whether or not the city will do that system project.
Would it be the same?
No, it would be different. It would be less. But that's the significant cost driver isn't the financing. The significant cost driver behind the 27% isn't just catch up.
If I might interject here,
please.
John doesn't. If you took, like, the water, the 27%, and you took out the project, the Highway 50 improvement, we would still be a 24.5% increase.
24.5%.
I figured it right.
That's only 20% with.
0.7 water. I'm talking
about water.
Well, the sewer is 27%.
The sewer, if you took that out.
The water is 20% there.
No. I'm sorry. I got the wrong number. The sewer is 27. Right. Without doing any improvements on that piece of it, would still need to be about a 24.5% increase. Water would be instead of 20% would need to be about 17.
So just to kind of reconcile where those comments, for those of you who have been to any of the funding discussions regarding the U.S. system project, we have previously put forth information that attempted to identify the impact of the project on rates, and you were seeing numbers like 3%, 4%, and 5%, and that's correct, because that is the impact of the project on rates. But that skips over a much bigger question, that the rates themselves need to be adjusted because it's been a number of years since you've done that. So the biggest cost driver for the rate increases, biggest cost driver is getting caught up with where you should otherwise be anyway, not necessarily the improvement.
And in all those cases also includes other improvement projects or maintenance projects around the city that have been identified over by each department here.
Each department came forward with a very good detailed list of improvements that they wish to make over the next several years, and those have all been incorporated, and I believe we have each of those in the rate studies.
So what questions do you have?
I'm not trying to cheat out and give you less than your money's worth. I'm just trying to
be respectful of your time. So without the business 50 part of this, so sewer would be around 24%, and what would the water and electric be?
The water was, I believe you said, about
17%.
And I haven't done the math on the electric.
Let's see. Realize I'm not a paid accountant, so I don't have the initials behind my name. But let's see.
If you want, I will.
Electric. I don't know if I calculated electric. 6.1 without it, I guess, was 3.4. That's what my notes say.
That's fine.
My notes are a little sketchy on that one, but yeah, I think it'd be 3.4 without the business 50. Overall, those three utilities, the average increase for the residential user is up about 10.5%, which isn't bad if you consider that they haven't been raised, as John said, since 2009, 2012, 2013. So from 5 to 9 years, 10% increase probably isn't too bad.
Well, it's unproductive for me to say this here tonight, but yeah, crystal ball, Rob the Cooter should have been doing this to increase the rate a little bit slowly, more frequently to avoid double-digit type increases. But again, that's unfair quarterbacking, and I'm not here to do that to you. But maybe a best practice that's carried forward. And I know that's hard to do because they're unpopular to do, and you don't want to do them unless you really need to do them. But again, that's part of the reason the increases are what they are is because that has not been done and adjusted in one.
I totally agree with that. I just want to say
that. Well, yes.
It is that because the so-called guys, I'm just going to send them all back to the house. I believe it's written in the ordinance, isn't it? Every 2 year rate study, have we done this in the
ordinance? I think that's a local rule,
yeah. Yeah, so we want to do that. So I'm not going to be here to remind you, so.
Now, that did sound like a threat.
What questions do you all have? I'm sure you got some.
I don't even know that guy.
You've seen him a lot lately. But you know Anita back there.
Okay.
Question.
Assuming right at that point in the year where just everything generally froze, keep the water down, stable, just them raised to get them sold, so you get more precise time, You get all that done by the end of the year, we're taking concurrent tracks. Did I say that? Use that right? Concurrent, always get concurrent. Concurrent and consecutive. Can't mess up and use it wrong. So while this process is going on, we are also actively engaged with the folks in Standard & Poor's with ratings. We've had preliminary discussions, prep meetings, getting ready for those calls, and offering documents have been prepared for release once we have the ratings. And if everything works, works according to plan and without any major hiccups or unexpected occurrences. We've got a plan that should work to get this done by the end of the year.
And the working group, particularly the three councilmen that were at that meeting, felt it was important that we not let these all effective at the same time. So that was the purpose of John's handout there as to when these would go into effect.
Right. So both for billing and even billing and for benefit of the customers was decided to phase them in over several months. Part of the science or alchemy behind the timing, sewer went first, the sewer is in the west need, the greatest need of rate increase. Then we were originally going to have the water system, but after some follow-up discussions, it was observed that it would be a lot easier to change the electric rates coterminous, coincidentally with a change in tracking factor. Not that it couldn't be done otherwise, but the math and the calculations, the opportunities for inadvertent mistakes become a lot greater. It's just easier if you time up the change in rates with the change in tracking factor. So that's why electric got pushed forward a month, and then reciprocally, water got pushed back a month. Okay, all these rate increases are across the board, meaning small user, large user, commercial, industrial, residential, everyone's rates are going up proportionately by the same percentage. This is not across the service, none of these are across the service studies.
Questions? Okay, we really need to read the other two ordinances, don't we?
Yes.
So, could I have a motion to read 20. Let's see, which one are we on? 32? 33. So motion by Councilman Brown. Second by Councilman Dahl. All in favor of reading that ordinance, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Ordinance number 33-2018, an ordinance amending the rates and charge for services rendered by the Municipal Electric Utility of the City of Washington, Indiana. Whereas the City of Washington, Indiana owns and operates a municipal electric utility in accordance with the provisions of Indiana Code Section 8-1.5, and whereas the Common Council of the City has previously established rates and charges of the municipal electric utility of the City pursuant to Ordinance Number 27-2009, and whereas the City has retained a financial advisor, H.J. Humboldt & Associates, to study and analyze the costs associated with providing electric service, and to thereafter recommend any changes to the city's existing rates and charges. And whereas UMBO has proposed an accounting report which memorializes its recommended changes to the city's rates and charges for electric service, which is dated November 16, 2018. And whereas the 2018 rate study indicates that the current rates and charges established pursuant to the 2009 rate ordinance do not produce income sufficient to maintain the utility property in a sound physical and financial condition to render adequate and efficient service, and that the rates and charges should be increased. And whereas, based on the 2018 rate study, the Common Council has determined the proposed rates and charges are fair and necessary to provide for the continued operation of the city's municipal electric utility. Whereas a public hearing was conducted by the Common Council on the 10th day of December 2018 at 6:30 p.m. in the Council Chamber located at 200 Fernand Avenue, Washington, Indiana. And whereas the Common Council now seeks to amend and adopt its schedule of rates and charges as set forth herein. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana, that Section 1, Rates and Charges, the City's existing rates and charges shall be and are hereby amended to include the following rates and charges for electric service. Monthly rate per kilowatt hour, residential rate RS, energy charge, first 500 kilowatt hours, 0.10799, for the next 1,000 kilowatt hours, 0.09749, over 1,500 kilowatt hours, 0.09057, customer charge $4.20. Commercial service rate, CS, energy charge, first 1,000 kilowatt hours,
0.10775 for the next 4,000 kilowatt hours at 0.10289, over 5,000 kilowatt hours 0.09746, customer charge $6.44. General service rate GS and GS2, energy charge, first 200 hours use of billing maximum load kilowatt hours 0.05267, over 200 hours use of billing maximum load kilowatt hours 0.03853, maximum load charge per kilowatt of billing maximum load $17.28. Large power service rate LP energy charge for all energy used per month kilowatt hours 0.03664, maximum load charge per kilowatt of billing maximum load $20.82. Municipal service rate MS energy charge for all energy used per month 0.08609, customer charge $17.91. Municipal water service rate MWS energy charge for all energy used per month 0.08440, customer charge $17.91. Outdoor lighting service, rate OL per unit, lamp size, 100 watt HPS, $8.64, 150 watt HPS, $7.18, 170 watt MV HPS, MH, $8.64, 250 watt MV HPS, MH, $9.36, 400 watt MV HPS, MH, $12.89, 1000 watt MV HPS, MH, $24.71, 43-watt LED, $5.16, 45-watt LED, $5, 55-watt LED, $5.47, 70-watt LED, $5.22, 95-watt LED, $6.39, 142-watt MV HPS MH, $8.02, 157-watt MV HPS MH, $8.30, 200-watt MV HPS MH, $8.88, 300 watt MV HPS MH $12.74. Municipal street lighting rate MSL per unit. Lamp size 100 watt HPS $9.32. 150 watt HPS $7.51. 175 watt MV HPS MH $9.32. 250 watt MV HPS MH $12.47. 400 watt MV HPS MH $12.94. 43-watt LED, $5.16, 45-watt LED, $5, 65-watt LED, $5.47, 70-watt LED, $5.22, 95-watt LED, $6.39, 142-watt MV HPS MH, $8.02, 157-watt MV HPS MH, $8.30, 200-watt MV HPS MH, $9.20, 300 watt MV HPS MH $12.74. Traffic signal service TL traffic signal $7.41. Flasher light $2.21. Section 2 tracking factor. When future changes occur in the cost of purchased power, which changes would cause a change in said purchased power cost adjustment tracking factor calculated in accordance with the order of the Public Service Commission of Indiana. In clause number 36835-S3, such factors shall automatically be changed accordingly. Section 3, council elections. The common council hereby elects to 1, receive payments in lieu of property taxes, and 2, earn a reasonable return on the investment in electric utility plants. Section 4, effective date. This ordinance will be effective immediately upon adoption, but the city will not implement the rates and charges set forth therein until the April 2019 billing cycle. Section 5, existing rates and charges. Unless specifically amended by this ordinance, all other rates, charges, and provisions related thereto, including but not limited to those set forth in ordinance number 16-2009, shall remain in full force and effect. Ordinance number 16-2009 established a rate that is 5% higher, i.e. a surcharge, for customers located outside the city. This ordinance is not intended to modify ordinance number 16-2009, or eliminate the continuation of such rates. Section 6, severability and provisions. The words, phrases, sections, paragraphs, and provisions of this ordinance are severable.
In the event of any one or more of the provisions contained in this ordinance should be held invalid, illegal, or unenforceable in any respect, the validity, legality, and enforceability of the remaining provisions herein shall not in any way be affected or impaired and should remain in full force and effect. Passed and adopted by the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana on this blank day of December 2018.
I have a simple question, but why do we, like, between the 100-watt lamp and 150-watt lamp HPS, why is the 150 lower?
Is it an HPS or is it
an HPS, and so is the 100-watt HPS. And it's the same way with the LEDs. The 43-watt LED is more money than the 45-watt LED. I don't know.
I know whenever we did the LED study, either based on the cost of purchasing those lights and the, all the stuff that goes with it, so I don't know. But I don't know about
it. It just seems like, you know, higher wattage should be more money, and I mean, I'd get the higher wattage and get a deal if that's what I'm going to do. But
are they cheaper to buy? I don't know.
Some of them are cheaper. You know how high you're going. I'm not sure it depends on what the components they have inside of.
I just noticed that.
LED are real expensive, but I don't go out there to work on them as much.
And off of the less electricity, yeah.
They kind of look down in the long run.
I just saw that, and I've probably seen it 100 times when we read these, but I just now noticed it.
At least I am, and just in 2009. So you,
well, I've looked at it since then, but some people have questions. I don't know why I know the 59.
Those are usually figured by
info, right? I mean, they're the ones that give us. I don't know, John, do you have any? Or Chris, do you have any?
I don't know either.
No. Okay.
So whenever she did that study, she wouldn't know all the costs of everything, so I didn't figure it had to do with the cost of buying them or how often they work on them or...
Okay.
Yeah, I can't answer your question directly, but everything is just being maintained as it is and going up across the board.
Right, that's... Okay, that ordinance for...
Excuse me. Yep, for consideration and adoption at our next meeting. Could I have a ordinance motion to read ordinance 34-2018?
So moved.
Motion by Councilman Dahl, second by Councilman Chambers. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Was that opposed, or was that somebody back there? Anybody oppose that? Okay, Pat Hanson, Tim, would you read it, please?
Ordinance number 34-2018, an ordinance amending the water rates and charges of the City of Washington, Indiana. Whereas the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana is responsible for establishing just and reasonable rates and charges for the users of the city's water utility. And whereas the city's existing rates and charges for water service were established in ordinance numbers 14-2012, 12-2016, and 25-2018 and codified in section 54.20 of the city's code of ordinances. And whereas the city has retained a financial advisor, H.J. Umbaugh and Associates, to study and analyze the costs associated with providing water service, and to thereafter recommend any changes to the city's existing rates and charges. And whereas Umbaugh has prepared an accounting report which memorializes its recommended changes to the city's rates and charges for water service, which is dated November 16, 2018. And whereas the 2018 rate study indicates that the current rates and charges do not produce sufficient income to maintain the utility property in a sound physical and financial condition to render adequate and sufficient service, and that the rates and charges should be increased. And whereas, based on the 2018 rate study, the Common Council has determined that the proposed rates and charges are fair and necessary to provide for the continued operation of the city's municipal water system. And whereas a public hearing was conducted by the Common Council on the 10th day of December, 2018 at 6:30 p.m. in the Council Chamber located at 200 Arnett Avenue, Washington, Indiana, pursuant to notices required by statute. And whereas the Common Council now seeks to amend and adopt its schedule of rates and charges as set forth herein. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana, that Section 1, Rates and Charges, the city's existing rates and charges shall be and are hereby amended to include the following rates and charges for water service. A. Meter water usage for 100 cubic feet. First 1,000 cubic feet, $6.34. Next 9,000 cubic feet, $5.59. Next 20,000 cubic feet, $4.03. Next 70,000 cubic feet, $2.45. Over 100,000 cubic feet, $1.58. B. Minimum charge. Meter size 1/2 to 5/8 inch, 500 cubic feet, minimum charge of $31.70. Meter size 3/4 inch, 956 cubic feet, $61.24. Meter size 1 inch, 59 cubic feet, $91.35. Inch and a half meter size, 1,850 cubic feet, $110.92. 2-inch meter size, 3,765 cubic feet, $217.96. 3-inch meter size, cubic feet, 8,717. Minimum charge, $494.78. 4-inch meter size, cubic feet, 20,540. Minimum charge of $991.26. 6-inch meter size, cubic feet, 55,130. Minimum charge of $1,988.19. C. Public fire protection fee permit, $3.19. D. Rural fire protection surcharge per month, $11.93. E. Private fire protection per month connection monthly charge for 2-inch, $99.19. 4-inch connection monthly charge $198.19. 6-inch connection a monthly charge of $297.28. An 8-inch connection $396.40 per month. And a 10-inch connection $495.43 per month. F. Hydrant rental private per annum $1,347.73. G. Sale for resale. For 100 cubic feet, $1.81. Usage greater than 30 million gallons for 100 cubic feet, $2.70. Section 2, rate differential for outside city customers. The 14.3% rate differential established in Ordinance Number 12-2016 for those customers located outside the city's corporate boundaries is not modified by this ordinance and shall remain in full force and effect. As noted in Section 1 herein, the out-of-town customers shall pay a 14.3% surcharge or higher rate for all metered water usage, minimum charges per month, private fire protection, and private hydrant rental. Section 3, payment in lieu of property taxes. The council hereby elects to include in its rates an amount sufficient to compensate the municipality for the property taxes that would be paid on its municipal waterworks if the waterworks were privately owned. The council further authorizes that the portion of fees collected in lieu of taxes be transferred to the general fund of the city. Section 4, existing rates and charges. Unless specifically amended by this ordinance, all other water rates, charges, and provisions related thereto as set forth in Ordinance Numbers 14-2012, 12-2016, and 25-2018 shall remain in full force and effect. Section 5, effective date. This ordinance shall be effective immediately upon adoption, but the city will not implement the rates and charges set forth herein until the May 2019 billing cycle. Section 6, severability of provisions. The words, phrases, sections, paragraphs, and provisions of this ordinance are severable. In the event of any one or more of the provisions contained in this ordinance should be held invalid, illegal, or unenforceable in any respect, the validity, legality, and enforceability of the remaining provisions herein shall not in any way be affected or impaired and should remain in full force and effect. Passed and adopted by the Common Council of the City of Washington, Davis County, Indiana, this Wednesday of blank 2018.
That ordinance will be up for final adoption at our next meeting. Any questions, not just I've all read, didn't have before. Chris, do you have anything to add? You wrote these things.
The only thing I add is the notices will go and be published in the newspaper of the public hearing December 10th. All four ordinances, so there'll be four ordinances, four different public hearings on December 10th. Notice is voted in the newspaper on Thursday of this week. And Anita and I have been working getting the public the notice to go to the out-town country. So I say that because you may get some phone calls.
And we will have public hearings on all those three plus the
wholesale
rate. Those will all have hearings at our next meeting, prior to our next meeting.
And from a timing perspective, because of the court case, we'll do the rural water rate ordinance first, and that's the one that should be on the agenda for consideration first.
Okay. And the effective date of those, that's the end of the lawsuit and the trial court hearing and everything. Okay. I'm just making a note to make sure that that one is first on the agenda and for the public hearing. Okay, the last note on the agenda is a discussion of our December meeting. First meeting would be the 10th. If we held a second meeting, normal date would be December 24th, and I doubt if anybody wants to be here on December 24th. We typically don't hold a second council meeting in December. We will hold a second Board of Public Works meeting for no other reason than to approve the final plans for the year. Beth and I have not looked at the calendar to see when that needs to be, but we'll make sure everybody knows that at our next meeting. But we'll just have one meeting for this council in December. I guess I'll reserve the right to call any special meetings if we need to for any of getting all this stuff done for December 31st. But unless we have a special meeting, we will only have a December 10th meeting for the council. Jerry, do you have anything for the good of the order tonight?
Yeah, I just wanted to know about the search on
The vacated one?
On McCormick.
What's the status?
What have we done?
The King West Lawn, and maybe he's finished up with other projects he's been working on, but he hasn't got anything on it yet.
So what have we done?
He's going to tear the building down and he's going to put up a duplex there. I think he's well on the plan at this moment.
Yeah, but the church still is unsafe. And there's people going in and out of it. And if the kids get in there and get hurt, who's going to be liable to that? Because we're letting it sit like that. We should have done that 5 months ago. When I brought it up the first time. That's all I
know. Well, he was going to tear it down this fall and apparently hasn't got to that, right?
He started another project before. He put two duplexes up.
So it's the building to make money on, hopefully.
Yeah, right.
One's cost money, but should we give him a deadline?
He told his house and he really did.
5 months ago, he said the deadline.
We can put up for a condemnation hearing, I guess, if we want to.
Mm-hmm. I think we should.
Let's talk about that, have a condemnation hearing on it. And prior to that, you might talk to him, though, and see if he's going to get down in the next few weeks. If he is, fine, but otherwise, we could do that. Okay. David? I'm sorry, Jeremy. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
One thing I have is Jerry's microphone cord is broken. If we don't need him, why don't we just get rid of him?
Okay. Do they feed into your recorder, though, don't
no.
they?
No.
Or do they even have the whole menu?
When they tell me how to work on the speakers, they don't work anymore. It's gone.
The these?
That's the only one that's going to recorder.
Okay.
These don't work anymore.
All right. That's a good idea. We need to get rid of them. Okay.
I'm good. I have nothing.
Okay. Beth, do you have anything?
I just have a question. On your email, you referred on the overhead bridge something about the sidewalk.
What was that?
ADA accessible.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember what I was talking about.
Maybe he has sent email. I don't know. You said it was delayed because Brian had issues with...
Oh, we have some... Well, we have some...
That's what I was asking. So what was it? What?
For the meeting with them Thursday, right?
Well, it's one tomorrow about the
team. That's right. Tomorrow and Thursday, yeah.
And we're just out of a couple quality issues that they've already expressed that they're willing to.
But it was the sidewalk? Only the sidewalk?
No, not just the sidewalks. Some of the curves and the way they're sloped and the way their angles don't line up with. If we were to continue and finish Hable Street, we would line up right. And they said they would redo that. And then we're still working on the ADA compliance on those lips. I think we have a different opinion on that.
Yeah. The sidewalks away from the bridge, not the ones on the bridge. The company that put those in, they say, the way they've always done it, is the sidewalk is about a quarter inch, half inch higher than the top of the curb. Aaron's concern, or Brian's concern, is that that could be a tripping hazard for somebody getting out of their car.
And that would come back on us, right? Right, exactly.
So how they'll fix those, I'm not sure, but we're having a meeting with one of them. With
not going to tear them out. Maybe have Tim draft a letter saying that if anything comes back on this, it's their responsibility to deal with.
On those issues, is that part of the Thursday meeting, though, right?
Yeah.
Other than the retaining
wall.
Yeah. So we'll have a meeting Thursday with the contractor, or with the general contractor. None of my tab. Okay, Friday. Ed, Brian, Phil Cornelius with the county. I'm supposed to be there to meet with all.
I was just curious what you were referring. You know.
Yeah, I forgot what that was about. Yeah. Yep. Okay. They say they'll fix it, whatever we want done. So. Helps that it's coming in a little under cost, so maybe they've got a little money to play with. I'm not sure.
Are they doing anything to keep kids from climbing on the retaining wall? They look like awful attractive steps.
No, I don't know what they're...
That's the way it was designed. But the answer that got after you asked me that, and I asked the contractor.
I hate to see somebody fall off and get hurt.
Just put a fence around it, I guess. I don't know what else you do, because I thought it was going to be inside that fence, that big 8-foot tall fence or 6-foot, but it is on the outside here, right?
Yeah. I don't see something to block access. A return on the railing or fence or something. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to do that on elevated sewer lines before.
Put that on the list to talk to him Thursday about. Okay. Please. Okay.
Yeah.
Mike. A few things I have here. Christmas in the Park is Thursday, December 6th, and Tuesday, December 18th, 6 to 9 p.m. The Christmas Parade is set for Saturday, December 1st, 6 p.m. Lineup will be at 5 p.m. on 7th Street next to the high school. However, Debbie has been communicating with the chamber back and forth today about a rain date because there's like a 60 or 80% chance of rain Friday. So there may be a rain date. We haven't set that yet. And then again, to the 15th Street Bridge, dedication is set for Thursday, December 6th, 11 a.m. You all are invited to be there. You'll probably be getting an invite if you haven't, but I'll make sure that's on your schedule. And then if you would pass these down, copy, if you would, please, to Mike and Don. This is a press release that I'm issuing today with a lot of trepidation, but thought has gone into this, and unlike a lot of jobs where you can give 2 weeks notice, in this business you need to give a year notice. So in January we'll be starting election cycle for the municipal elections for next year, and I just want to get rid of all rumors and everything. I will be retiring at the end of this term, so that's basically what that news release is, so for what that's worth. And I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about it next year, but I do not plan to quit working for the year because we have a lot of projects going on. So I don't intend to quit working, but I just wanted to put to bed all the rumors and everything that's going on. So anything else for the good of the order? If not, I will accept a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Hello.
Meeting adjourned. Or second that. Board of Public Works in 5 minutes. Thank you.
Yeah.